We will read together the Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90. It's often read on New Year's Eve, Psalm 90. And then we will also read from Genesis chapter 46, the first 7 verses and then verses 26 to 31. First hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 90. The Psalm of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, and by your wrath are we troubled. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days are passed away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? Even according to your fear, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent you concerning your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein you have afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let your work appear unto your servants, and your glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And then we go to chapter 46 of Genesis, verses 1 to 7, and 26 to 31. Here we read, And Israel, that's Jacob, took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of you a great nation. I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle, and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Then we go to verse 26. And all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls, all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself to him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are yet alive. And Joseph said to his brethren and to his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say to him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. So far the scripture reading, and we will look especially at the phrase, the text in verse 29. I'll read the whole verse. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel's father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And we'll focus on, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. For this New Year's evening service, We have before us, dear congregation, an emotion-packed episode that God's Word tells us about. It's no doubt one of the most moving passages of the whole Bible. Think of it, this meeting and embrace of Joseph with his dear father, which we just read about in Genesis 46. Imagine that emotion-packed hug and embrace after more than 20 years of separation. You know the story, I think. Joseph and Pharaoh had invited Jacob and his whole family to move to Egypt, for the famine over the area was going to last another 5 years at least. And Joseph, with Pharaoh's approval, had said to the brothers and to his father Jacob, come to Goshen and we will take care of you. Settle in the land and come here. Well, now he was arriving, our text tells us, with his whole caravan. And we are told, coming close to Goshen area, he sends Judah, his son Judah, to go ahead to inform Joseph and to inquire exactly where they should go, the details, etc. And then in that setting we are told, as verse 29 of Genesis 46 says, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while, or for quite some time. Dear congregation, will you meditate with me this evening just for a while on this weeping embrace of Joseph with Jacob and Jacob with Joseph? See this 39-year-old ruler in Egypt, Joseph, in mutual embrace with his 130-year-old father, Jacob, also called Israel. For a good while, that means for quite some time, they just hugged each other close and tight, with both their hearts throbbing and filled in their meeting one another. Heart sobbing, throbbing, thrilling embrace. That's the theme for this New Year's Eve sermon. We will focus on why does the Bible tell us about this embrace? This weeping of Joseph and Jacob together on each other's neck. Notice with me at least 5 reasons for it. Hopefully you will see too all kinds of applications that can be made for us now in this New Year's Eve service. Children, young people, why do you think Jacob and Joseph were so emotional in meeting one another? They wept. Joseph wept for a good while with Jacob and Jacob with Joseph. Why this long time weeping? Would you not agree that one reason would be their deep love and affection for each other? It was a weeping out of love. Oh, how Father Jacob had especially loved Joseph, the son of his most dear wife, Rachel. And how Joseph had loved his father, Jacob. Yes, how deep was their kinship in the bond of love. Not just with family love, however, but especially too in the common bond of faith and spiritual love to God and for each other. Father Jacob and son Joseph, they had understood each other, heart to heart. Not just as members of the same physical family, but as members of the same faith. There was such deep understanding and affection between the two in this regard. How hard and difficult it was. Suddenly they were torn apart from each other. And that for more than 20 years, that's a long time. During all that time, Father Jacob had been thinking even that Joseph had been killed, as his sons had falsely told him to cover up their sin, you know, against Joseph. And son Joseph, during all that time he was in Egypt, he often wondered about his dad. He couldn't phone, he couldn't email, he couldn't text, he couldn't do anything. He didn't know. He wondered if his father was still alive, yes or no. It It's interesting when you look at the chapters earlier, how often he would ask, is the old man still alive? You can read chapter 43, 27, his questions for his father. But see now here, this Jacob and Joseph, father and son, most wonderfully joined together again. Oh, how they hugged each other just for love's sake. You agree, don't you? That explains something of their weeping and their extended emotional embrace. The Bible's so real. I love the Bible. So real. Listen to what John Calvin writes here about this embrace. Moses, he says, describes their vehement feeling of joy to show that the Holy Fathers were not destitute of natural affection. Indeed not. Does this joy between them not also explain more, don't you think, the sending of Judah ahead by Jacob to inform Joseph about Jacob and family's arrival close to Goshen? Isn't that commentator correct who wrote, quote, Jacob could not travel with such speed as he desired to see the son so dear to his heart, but doubted not that his son, when he heard of his approach, would come forth to meet him. Thus they would both gain, wrote this commentator, some hours of happiness. And you know, the text tells us how Joseph made ready his chariot to meet his father. I love to picture that in my mind. Can you just imagine with what quivering excitement Joseph must have been filled with riding to meet his dear old dad? I think those chariot wheels were spinning fast toward Goshen. Don't you think so too? It was a weeping out of love. That partly explains the long embrace and the overwhelming emotion that took place between these two. And how can this be applied to us now, you ask? Well, is not all experience of true friendship and the bond of love with others, especially also love that is rooted in God's love and reflecting His care and love, is that not always a precious gift from the Lord? Is it not fitting at the end of another year, after again having enjoyed in various degrees, benefited in different ways from special relationships of true love in family and with friends and as members of the Christian church, that we humbly thank the Lord for this blessing, also at this year's end? Joseph and Jacob wept in thankful love to God for bringing them together again and allowing them to enjoy each other's company once more. Don't you and I have reason for such thankful love to God, for loved ones He has given to us, and for dear friends He has allowed us to have and to keep for another year, and for the communion of saints that He grants to us, even as a church family? It is so easy for us to take for granted loving relationships, but they are such a precious gift from God, an undeserved mercy, which the Lord in His loving kindness gives to us in different measures and degrees. Speaking of real love, is there anyone's love to be more thankful for and constantly amazed with than God's love for us in and through Christ Jesus, His Son? Who and what can compare, yes, think of that, with God's love to us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? How steadfast and ever faithful and merciful and abundant and rich, again, has been God's love to us this past year, or not? The triune God's many messages of love with His Word preached, His many signs of love and His many calls of love and for love, how measureless and how undeserved it all has been. Why should we have been showered with so much of the Lord's love blessings when so many are not? I ask, should we not thank Him for the multitude of His tender mercies and loving kindnesses shown to us through His gospel ministry, shown to us through Christ, demonstrated in His love through our loved ones and friends and fellow believers also. Is there not reason for us to maybe to become emotional even, thinking of all the blessings of love shown to you and me for another whole year? Saying that makes me think too, however, about those of you who maybe think with pain and grief about the bond of love with others in this past year. Maybe perhaps you are one who experienced little real bond of love with others. Especially this past year, maybe. For whatever reasons you experienced and still go through maybe a lot of loneliness. Perhaps you long for a soulmate, a Christian marriage partner, but somehow it just doesn't happen, and sometimes it really hurts you, yes, at this time of year especially. Or maybe even this past year, loved ones of yours became distant in one way or another for whatever reason. Don't many of us also have loved ones far away whose absence we miss, especially at this time of the year? Some of you too have experienced death in your extended families. Even now you think about how this past year you lost a dear friend or a brother or a sister or a mother. Someone lost a mother this past year among us. Not here now, but. Or you may have a loved one who's presently on the edge of death. And humanly speaking, if they have not died this year, they will probably die early in 2014. And you keenly feel that loss and that reality. Often as another year ends, we reflect on those who passed away, who never will enter the new year with us. New Year's Eve is a good time to remember the frailty of life and to remember Moses' words that we pray to God to teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. Some of you, speaking about love relationships, you have a lot of pain. And that brings me to my second main point here for this weeping, long-time embrace of Jacob and Joseph. Was it not also a weeping out of grief as well as out of love? Wouldn't you agree that intense, weeping, long hug was like an outpouring of years of grief? What sadness! And what grief both Jacob and Joseph knew about in their life's journey. Their embrace now was an embrace and so much love, surely, but also so much grief. Grief for awful transgressions of the past. Grief for past deep sorrows and just all the hard struggles of life that both Joseph and Jacob had gone through. What deep ways that both of them had gone through. In Psalm 56, verse 8, we read that David too wept in grief in connection with his life's journey. And he states before God, "Thou tellest my wanderings." In other words, you know, O God, all my path, all my difficult trials in life. And then David says, "Put thou my tears in your bottle." And the word for bottle that David uses refers to a good-sized bottle, suggesting a flood of tears, which David too shed in his journey of life. And dear congregation, is it not the case with so many people, if not all people in the long run? This world is, as the Catechism says in Lord's Day 9, a veil of tears. It's a veil of tears. Everyone experiences this sooner or later in different measures. And thinking just of this past year, has there not been many griefs suffered and endured by people also among us? Griefs experienced on account of disappointments. Griefs experienced on account of broken and strained relations in marriage and family and otherwise. Griefs gone through on account of sins and shortcomings by ourselves and by others against us. Misunderstandings, hard feelings, loss of loved ones, a church still divided, goals not achieved. Grief still because of lust gaining mastery in our lives all too often yet. Grief because of difficulties, tensions, and stresses at work, even with schooling. Grief because of thinking worldwide, international upheaval and terrorist attacks, too many to mention. Grief because of the falling away from the gospel truth and so little love for the truth. Grief because of economic insecurity, famines and droughts and accidents and sickness and disease. All these things and more have been met with this past year again. And give reason for grief. Grief, something like as with Jacob and Joseph. There can be real reason for weeping out of grief. Maybe this evening, 2013, draws to a close in reflection. You too see so much reason for weeping out of grief. But how wonderful then that we may come to the Savior on this last evening of the year and tell Him our every grief. We may pour it all out to Him or not. Isn't that the gospel invitation, in fact, and the comfort for all God's people? With all our sorrows of heart and all our struggles in life and fears that we might have, all our shortcomings and sins too, may we not come to the Savior with all our grief, every trial, every sin, every trouble? Is Jesus not called the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief? He can understand us as no one else can. And the Savior is able and willing to help and comfort us as no one else can. How right the Psalter line, based on Psalm 146. He saves from strong oppression's hand. In Him the sad a helper find. See Jacob and Joseph in weeping embrace, how God led them in and through all their many griefs in the years past. They even came to realize, didn't they, that somehow God used their griefs for good. And He turned it out for good. And isn't this the case? Through Jesus the Savior, our griefs can even become our main growth times in life. The call of God's Word is to look to the Savior and to call upon Him in all our needs and trials in body and soul. We are to go to Christ and call upon Him in faith and His promises that with Him is plentiful deliverance and comfort and help to be found whatever the trial or sorrow or grief that we may have, whatever the sin that we may bring to Him. The Lord in and by Christ Jesus makes us more than conquerors through all the ups and downs in life's journey. See Jacob and Joseph weeping together, not just out of love, but also through many griefs. And know that it's true. With the Lord we find a refuge, strong and sure. Isn't the solemn reality, dear congregation, most sadly so, that this evening, when all the world is called indeed to reflect a while on our lives, passing on, going from one year to the next, isn't it the case too many hardly want to take that very seriously? Why not? Isn't it often because they can't handle their griefs? And they have no real refuge in life's trials and sorrows except in trying to forget about it all. And so tonight, New Year's Eve, becomes the biggest party night of the year, when all too many drink themselves into a giddy forgetfulness, or into a drunken stupor, or they get high on drugs, or go wild some other way. All somehow to drown out their griefs and sorrows in life and not to have to take seriously the meaningless and the hopelessness of life apart from God and trusting Him as revealed in the Gospels. But all the self-made attempts at drowning out and just forgetting about the griefs and stresses of life fail miserably to give real peace of mind and hope as we move on from year to year. People just end up starting the new year with a big headache, after their hangover. How we should pity those who move on from year to year, without, whether sober or not sober, yet without God as their refuge and strength. But we may come here this evening by the grace of God, in the house of God, and learn of this Father and Son in mutual emotional embrace before God, weeping out of love and weeping out of grief. Oh, it is to the Savior, dear congregation, the Savior of the Bible, who also brought these two men together, as described in our text passage. It is to Him that we may go also this night, whatever griefs we may have. Is there anyone here who just will not come before the Lord in true repentance and faith this night? I pray not. For how wonderful to be called and granted to turn to the Lord, the eternal God, also this New Year's Eve, also with all your griefs and sorrows and tears. You know what God promises for all who come to Him and trust and follow Him in life's journey? You know what His promise is as described in Psalm 30 verse 5b? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That brings me to another reason, no doubt, for the prolonged weeping embrace of Jacob and Joseph. The third reason, it was a weeping out of love and out of grief. And also, surely, it was a weeping and an embrace for a while out of joy. Out of joy. Oh, their hearts were throbbing and sobbing out of joy. We may be certain of that. Joy in seeing each other again. Joy in the way the Lord led them through their griefs and gave them now this special privilege and benefit of being together once more, seeing each other again. Both Jacob and Joseph, we can be sure with that weeping hug for a good while, were overwhelmed in deep joy. You see, God had not forgotten them. The Lord had not left them to themselves. Rather, in spite of all appearances and regardless all their sins too, the Lord had yet watched over them and proven true to all His promises. In amazing providence and in wonderful mercy also now, God would provide for them all their needs further for body and soul. He was out for their further well-being. Both Jacob and Joseph so realized and believed this as they met one another and hugged each other. God was so good to them. When they thought about it, the fact too that Jacob's faith name, Israel, is mentioned twice in the context, is telling here. From this itself, we can be sure both Jacob and Joseph were just so happy in the Lord, in their union together now. When we are in the Lord's ways, what reasons for joy? For heart-sobbing, throbbing, thrilling embrace, even with gladness, time and again. What does the inspired psalmist say in Psalm 34, 18 and 19? The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes, this may be the believer's portion. By God's almighty, ever faithful hand, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So also David says in faith, he exclaims in Psalm 5, in the last two verses of that psalm, let all those that put their trust in the Lord rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt Thou compass him as with a shield? Oh, indeed, dear congregation, this is still the gospel truth, isn't it? What endless reasons for joy in life, year after year, when in the Lord's ways, following after Him in spirit and truth, also as Jacob and Joseph were doing by God's grace. Why is this still the case? Also in 2013, 14. Well, because the Lord changes not. And as we read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In all generations, till the last day of history. Could that come in 2014? Who knows? Still the Lord, as triune God of salvation, in His covenant mercy and love, as faithful Savior God, is there. And He changes not. And with Him is fullness of salvation from sin and eternal life granted to us. And saying that gives reason to point clearly to the Savior from our text passage. It's true what one wrote, and I quote, "No weeping like that of Joseph and Jacob here. No such weeping any time or anywhere else do we find, except when Jesus wept." How Jesus wept when He saw the results of sin in this world, and when He Himself took on the sins of His people and suffered for those sins. In that regard, dear congregation, I hope you too can see a link between Genesis 46:29 and the cry of the Savior on the cross to His Heavenly Father. "My God! My God! Why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Isn't it true? Because He, Jesus the Savior, came down to this earth and entered into this cursed world full of sin and sorrow, came to bring deliverance from sin and to destroy the works of the devil. Because of that, there's hope for sinners like us still in this fallen world. And we may know the joy of relationships in the Lord. Because of Jesus, the Savior, think of it, also at death's door, weeping in love for sinners and in grief for sin. Sin not His own. And giving His life in that once for all, God-pleasing, victorious sacrifice for sin. Therefore, sinners like Jacob, he was quite the sinner. And Joseph, he too was a sinner. And all the others in the family, and sinners like you and me, may yet have hope of salvation and find comfort real and rich beyond words still. Whoever repents and believes shall not perish, but be reconciled to God and be God's dear children, indeed by grace, and be able to live fruitful lives, hopeful lives, now and have the hope of eternal life hereafter. That's the gospel message, which even Jacob and Joseph looked to and believed in from their Old Testament perspective. This is the gospel message that through the promised Messiah, whom God would in the fullness of time send to be Savior of sinners, through Him and His life, death, and resurrection on sinners' behalf, even to the point of being forsaken by His dear Heavenly Father, now there can come salvation, rich and free, for you and me, for whoever turns from sin and repents and believes on Him. Triune God was working out His salvation plan for sinners, also in and with the life stories of Jacob and Joseph. Joseph and Jacob. And inasmuch as they too both trusted in this one true God and His covenant promises and saving work, oh, what joy they each and both could have at this time when in each other's arms again. And what about us, you and me? Is your heart too sobbing and throbbing from joy as we end this year and are about to begin a new year, seeing the unending love of God and the mercy of God as revealed in Jesus Christ the Savior? Thinking of the gospel message about Emmanuel, we just celebrated it, God with us, trusting and following after Him. Is there not boundless reasons for deep, steadfast joy as we live life's journey? Is there any need the Lord can't supply as the years go by? Is there a cry the Lord won't hear and follow up on from you and me too? I ask you, is there any way you can better end this year with a clear and clean record from all your sins and sinfulness, and to begin the new year with almighty strength against sin and evil, other than through Jesus Christ, the Savior, and leaning on Him and staying with Him. The Savior invites us so to end the old year and to begin this new year by grace through faith in Him, and doing so what joy that can and does give. The Bible teaches and history proves, really, that true and everlasting joy is only to be found in and with the Lord, our Savior. Also in our relationships. Real joy in relationships comes in communion with the Lord, first of all. Thus, with David, we testify, as we sang earlier in Psalter 83, based on Psalm 32, "So let the godly seek thee in times when thou art near. No whelming floods shall reach them, nor cause their hearts to fear. In thee, O Lord, I hide me. Thou savest me from ill, and songs of thy salvation my heart with rapture thrill." Wasn't something of this mindset throbbing with thrilling joy in Joseph and Jacob in their extended emotion-packed embrace, as told in our text, Genesis 46, verse 29b. Surely that was there. Again, will anyone this night just refuse to look to Christ and belong to Him, one and only Savior of sinners? You know, the Bible speaks also of a different kind of weeping than that of Jacob and Joseph mentioned in our text. It speaks of the weeping of the unbelieving and the unconverted who have perished in their sin, who never took serious the gospel, perished in their sins without Jesus Christ, the Savior. And they've gone thus to the place of everlasting condemnation and punishment, that awful place called in the Bible, hell. There, said Jesus more than once, in loving, earnest warning, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there will be no shoulder to cry on there. No. People will hate each other there. There will be weeping there. There will be constant howling and wailing in agony and pain and shame, and without escape, without a remedy. So I pray you in Christ's stead, therefore, don't anyone here shrug off the call of the gospel to seek the Savior while He may yet be found. To be linked to Him in spirit and truth while He is yet near. If any of us should die this night or in this new year, the first week, will we see you in the new heavens and new earth or not? Oh, let this scene of Jacob and Joseph in warm-hearted, tight embrace, a good while even, have us all pay attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ while in the time of grace. Yes, for notice still more about the weeping of believing Jacob and Joseph, that it was not only a weeping out of love and out of grief remembered and out of joy, but also certainly it was a weeping in hope. A weeping in hope. Surely here their embrace, so emotional, was filled with hope that now things would be different. They were told by Joseph and Pharaoh for the immediate future, they would be well taken care of in the land of Canaan, Jacob and his family. From the rich storehouses of food that Joseph was used by God to gather, they could live in Goshen. And even in the height of the famine, they were guaranteed all the provision they needed. Especially through Joseph as ruler of Egypt under Pharaoh. But even more than hope in all their temporal needs, don't you think too, Jacob and Joseph sobbing and throbbing of heart with each other here a good while was in view of the good hope for the future that they had from God and His covenant leadings and promises in their lives. In their meeting here together, both Jacob and Joseph saw and realized something of how great God is and how true and wondrous all in all His saving works and ways. God preserved them for the further outworking of His covenant promises to the final day when Jesus would come. Both knew with renewed assurance, even somehow, some way, that trusting in God the Lord, all would be well, also for the future, regardless what it all might bring. Hear thus patriarch Jacob, as soon as words could be expressed. I wonder how long the hug was before words could be expressed. But hear him say, as told in verse 30 of Genesis 46, and Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are yet alive. This wasn't so much a death wish on the part of Jacob, no. But it was an expression of confidence in the Lord and His wondrous care and keeping. Both knew as they embraced each other, oh, praise God, we are in the Lord's hands and we are safe no matter what things may look like sometimes. It looked so hopeless, but our God proved true again. And again, I think here of us and of the future, we as we move on from this year into the next. What a world of international upheaval and tension and chaos and confusion on many fronts we live in at this time. Are we not in the perilous last days, as Paul mentions to Timothy? What a godless and secular and sensual age our 21st century is. What a pagan postmodern world. How much violence, how much mindless reasoning, how much terrorism, how much immorality, how much apostasy, how much lovelessness abounds. But do we need to be without hope? No. Not with the everlasting Lord as our Savior and guide and guard. Not with the God of Jacob as our hope and our help, and looking to Him and staying with Him and His Word. Think of it here, what dark times the Israelites would later have in Egypt, long after Jacob and Joseph's deaths. Yes, when another Pharaoh would come who knew not Joseph and his deliverance for the land and who so oppressed the Jews in the land, would it all become hopeless? God's salvation's plans and promises? No, not through the almighty hand of God. Great is His faithfulness. Think here also of the hope that may be ours ever since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. There is no humanly hopeless situation that God can't turn around and make us be hopeful still. Yes, through His saving power and grace on sinners' behalf. This is the comforting truth for us as confessing Christians, that the Bible, which cannot lie, teaches us, namely, God reigns, and great is His faithfulness, also the 21st century. Indeed, concerning Jesus, the Savior, as foretold by Isaiah, the government is upon His shoulders, and His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So no matter what happens, nothing will take place outside of God's control. All things ultimately will serve to the Lord's honor and praise and for the good of His people and for the increase of His church and the coming of His kingdom. Oh, there's no reason to have good hope for the future looking to ourselves or living apart from God and His Word, despising His Word. No, but trusting in God as revealed in Jesus Christ and following after Him and His Word, you and I have every reason to be most hopeful also for the future, even in our dark days, even for the eternal future. Yes, the Bible says, belonging to the Lord, we have eternal security, even in spite of our sins, even in spite of the reality of death. And something of this Jacob and Joseph realized, no doubt, in their long, emotional embrace with each other. They knew God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. And they could have hope. Well, I must end the sermon. My aim has been that you and I meditate with profit on Father Jacob and son Joseph in this emotional long time embrace. When they with sobbing, throbbing, thrilling hearts wept on each other's necks a good while. Their weeping was a weeping out of love, out of grief, out of joy, out of hope. It was a hard sobbing and throbbing, in summary, just out of ecstatic praise to God for all His wondrous works and ways. Oh, will you to end this year with a heart sobbing and throbbing in thrilling praises to God for His mercy and love, for His care and keeping another year in and through Christ Jesus, and for the hope of the future still through the gospel of the one and only Savior of sinners. As another year ends and we are about to enter 2014, since Christ's first coming, you understand and you know, don't you, that we are coming closer to His second coming. His second coming will be so different than His first coming. For when He comes again, He will come in majesty and in glory as Judge of all and as King Almighty, coming on the clouds of heaven to gather in His church to establish His kingdom. Who knows how soon now. In reference to that yet, let me just close by explaining my theme for this message. Heart sobbing, throbbing, thrilling embrace. Here below, in this sinful world, with our sinful selves by nature, living in this veil of tears, still, even for the best of times, God's people will have all their joys mixed with sorrows. And their high points confronted with disappointments, and their glory points spoiled with sinful points. One day, though, this is the promise of God. Believe it with all my heart. For all His people who trust and obey Him, there will never again be heart sobbing, but only heart throbbing and thrilled with inexpressible eternal joy and praise. How wonderful then to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Can you imagine? And to embrace all the redeemed in glory. Yes, including Jacob and Joseph and a countless many more. Having hearts throbbing and thrilled only in the endless, ecstatic, joyful praises to our God. As we move from 2013 to 2014, we come one year closer to that great coming day when we will weep for joy on each other's neck for a good while indeed. That is when we are saved by God's grace and belong to Him through faith here and now. Even so, will you join with Jacob and Joseph long ago in heart sobbing, throbbing, thrilling embrace of the gospel and of each other? Like they did, in love, grief, joy, hope, and praise. What an inestimable blessing when we also so may greet and embrace one another with the words of Happy New Year. Surely this is also the express will of God and the gracious, sincere invitation from Him still to each one of us. Yes, from God triune, in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Didn't even Jacob and Joseph understand something of this all in their long time emotional embrace so long ago now? What do you think? Amen.